This is the Poison Terminator podcast. My name is Carlo Diolim. There are several products used to keep cold and ice at bay during the winter. Although these winter items are useful, they may be unsafe if we're not careful. Today, we will be talking about winter poisoning hazards. To know more about this topic, I've invited Julie Weber. Julie is the director of the Missouri Poison Center. She's a registered pharmacist and certified as a specialist in poison information and serves as an adjunct clinical instructor in pharmacy at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. Julie was elected to the board of directors for the American Association of Poison Control Centers in 2012 and president-elect in 2018. Welcome back, Julie.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Julie, let's start with winter products that remove ice from auto parts or protect car gears from cold weather. Which of these products are the most common causes of poisoning this winter?
The products that we see that can really be a problem this winter are like windshield washer solutions, antifreeze that we put in our cars, or de-icers that we need to sometimes use on our locks to get our doors open.
How can someone get poisoned with these substances?
Usually how we can see someone get poisoned by it is through ingestion of the product. So sometimes it might be available in a container that they drink it from. On the skin so much, it has minimal absorption and can maybe cause some irritation. But again, the main route of exposure is through ingestion.
What are the symptoms that we can see induced by these substances?
Well, let's start with the windshield washer solution. It contains methanol or methyl alcohol. And the symptoms with the windshield washer solution is it can cause some maybe stomach upset, a little nausea. But later what can happen is it can cause actually dizziness, a person to get real drowsy or confused. How this alcohol breaks down, it has a metabolite, we call it, that can be toxic, and it can actually have the risk to cause blindness. Now, with ethylene glycol, it's very similar with the onset of symptoms of, again, that stomach upset and nausea. Can almost mimic like a person being drunk. And its toxic metabolite actually can cause some kidney damage. It can form what we call an oxalate crystal, and this little crystal can hurt and damage the kidneys. And then by the de-icers, they contain isopropyl alcohol. And again, we see the stomach upset or possibly nausea or vomiting, but its most significant symptom is going to be drowsiness that can lead into a real deep sleep or a coma and hypotension or decrease in the blood pressure.
Are there any signs such as smell in the breath or any other signs that can tell us a kid ingested those chemicals?
There might be some initial, like a sweet smell, especially with the windshield washer solution and the antifreeze. Both have very good taste, and that can really lead into an unintentional exposure where a large amount could be ingested, because they both could look like a beverage, and they can be in an improper container and get basically ingested. So I would watch out for like that sweet kind of smell. But the biggest thing we're going to see is a symptom of like stomach upset with that nausea and vomiting. And if your child hasn't been ill or that's something unusual, it's definitely something to look into. Also, I mentioned these are toxic alcohols, a little different than our ethanol or beverage alcohol we drink. But again, you think of signs of drunkenness. So if you see a child behaving that way or they're real drowsy and it's not normal nap time, that's something else that we could watch for.
And do these substances have a particular taste?
Actually, no. Unless they actually taste pretty sweet and okay for methanol or the ethylene glycol. Sometimes companies will put a bittering agent in them called Bitrix, and it makes it taste bad. So hopefully that can act as a deterrent to ingesting a larger amount. Now with the isopropyl alcohol, it can be a little bit more irritating and maybe no taste, but it worries me because the others do have a good taste and are sweet.
How can we prevent poisonings related to these chemicals?
Well, number one, especially with children, it's always keeping products that are risky up high and out of sight. We even recommend if you can get it into a locked cabinet, that's best to prevent a poisoning. Another great way is to keep products in their original container. I talked a little bit about how it can look like a beverage, and it's like a blue color. Sometimes there's blue drinks, and it looks like something good to ingest, and they can get into it. And another area of prevention is, I know there is one alternative to antifreeze with the ethylene glycol, but you have to make sure your car can use that type. There's a propylene glycol that's a bit safer alternative, but not all cars or vehicles will allow you to use that type of ingredient in there.
I just want to ask you out of curiosity, have you observed any unintentional ingestion of, let's say, antifreeze by an adult?
An unintentional by an adult?
Yeah.
I would say yes. And where I have seen that happen is sometimes adults will be working on their car and the antifreeze can splash up and get into their mouth or to their eyes. And so that is something for them to be cautious about. One, hopefully it's not hot because they could have a thermal burn, but if it's not diluted and larger amounts can, like a big mouthful in an adult, could be a problem. So that is a way that I could see an adult unintentionally have this happen. Or again, if we put this, say we put some windshield washer solution in a cup to pour it into our car, again, so easily it looks like a blue flavored drink that they might mistake it for their, you know, like electrolyte beverage or something they had and drink it.
There's also products that can remove ice on the ground surrounding the car, such as ice melting salts that we need to be careful of. What's so dangerous about ice melting salts?
Well, there's several types of the ice melts, and it just really depends on the ingredients. The most common one is sodium chloride or salt. And salt can be a problem in that it increases that electrolyte in our body, and it can be very dangerous to how our body's functioning and how our central nervous system, our mind, is working. So that's really what happens, is it can cause too much sodium or an increase in our electrolytes.
How are individuals exposed to high smelting salts?
Well, right now what I've seen coming in on our hotline are the most have been by adults or even the children themselves tracking it into the homes. We've had some icy weather, and when this ice melts put down, it gets stuck in our shoes, the grooves of tennis shoes or boots, and we bring it into the home. And young little children crawling around on the floors have access to pick it up and put it in their mouths and ingest it. And sometimes there can be a large amount brought in that they could get into. I think another way is by playing in the snow, and sometimes kids decide to eat some of the snow. And again, it can be mixed into that snowy mixture, and they can possibly ingest it or get it on their skin. Or just sometimes the younger children have access to the full bag, and they think it looks good or pretty. And sometimes those ice melts can actually look like sugar candies that I've seen on a stick, and kids will sit there and ingest it.
So if the kid puts the ice melt on his skin, it's going to have what, like an irritation?
If it melts and stays on the skin, it can cause some redness and irritation. Not like a blistery burn, but it can cause some definite redness or pain.
And they can also call the poison center if it gets on the children's skin?
That's what we say, is to immediately call the poison hotline anytime you even think they've ingested a small piece. It's always very safe to get the message of what to do or what not to do.
And what's the number?
The number is 1-800-222-1222.
What should people do to avoid injuries associated with ice melts?
Well, really, number one is I know a lot of times we don't want to slow down, but we need to slow down and read the directions. Proper use of products is definitely number one of what to do. Now, as adults, what we can do for our children is really clean up frequently in the home when these products are in use. So frequent vacuuming, sweeping up if it doesn't need to be used in that area anymore or outside, to kind of clean it up and scoop it up and throw it out. And then again, as we mentioned, if it does get on the skin, you need to immediately wash that off. That initial quick first aid helps avoid more serious injuries.
We've been discussing about products that help us to get to work during winter cold, but we also need not to forget to protect our body extremities from the bad weather. Let's talk first about hand warmers. Which components of hand warmers are unsafe for us?
Well, the hand warmers are usually made of like an iron powder, some activated charcoal, vermiculite, water, and salt. So I can look at the iron powder in there, and that can be a little bit more toxic in large amounts, or the salt. But the good part about it is they're in low concentrations.
How can people be exposed to the toxic content of hand warmers?
Usually it's by the product breaking open on them. So they may have it in their mittens or gloves and hit their hands real hard on something, or it could be in a package and the package can tear open, or a child may possibly be curious and just chew on that package and break through it to get into the contents.
What are the symptoms that we would see in children?
If they bit into a package, again, I mentioned low toxicity. So there shouldn't be enough of the iron powder in some of these smaller hand warmers to be any problem. So I wouldn't expect effect, but say there's multiple packets or more exposures, large amounts of the iron would cause some vomiting or stomach irritation or pain.
Does the powder leave any trace or color in the mouth after it is ingested?
It could. So there's some activated charcoal in there. So you think of like charcoal, and that's kind of a black color. So it may leave evidence of some black pieces. Or that iron powder, when it reacts, makes an iron oxide, so like rust. So there could be a rust kind of color or particle in the mouth.
How can we avoid poisonings related to hand warmer?
Well, again, it's about storage. So if they're this, the packets that you have sitting around the home, you want to keep them not in the access of the child and up and out of their sight. For us as adults, it's really following the directions and use caution. If, say, you do have hand warmers in your gloves, you don't want to be hitting them together or, you know, really pounding on them because they can break open. You want to just be cautious with how you're using that product. Or to avoid a poisoning at all, maybe the alternative is just more layers and proper, you know, materials like wool, gloves, just different layers to help prevent and keep you warm.
Do you know of any other products that wouldn't contain any chemicals like this product we're talking now?
I'm not familiar with any products that don't have the chemicals in there. There's a variety of hand warmers out there, and actually the one more common is the ingredients, as we mentioned, with the iron powder and water and salt. To some degree, they all have some type of toxin in here. I would say this is definitely the one of lowest toxicity, and I would look for to use.
Let's go from the hands to the feet now. Why is waterproofing spray that is sprayed on boots toxic?
Well, what's in the waterproofing spray? There was a product a number of years ago that had a they call it a fluorocarbon polymer, and that's a big fancy name for like a hydrocarbon product. And this is definitely a chemical that can be a problem because it gets volatile and it can be inhaled, as well as some of them have what we call methyl ethyl ketone in it, toluene, just some other different kinds of volatile chemicals.
How do we reduce incidents associated with waterproofing sprays?
I think one of the biggest things is that we do not want to use it in the house. We want to get it in an open, well-ventilated area. So hopefully at the time we're preparing before it gets too cold and we can get our boots or whatever garment we're trying to waterproof outside, we want to really keep the ventilation around it and not be overspraying and be in a cloud to inhale that type of product.
Are there individuals that are more sensible to the particles of the spray?
I do think certain individuals can have more significant effects from the spray, especially if a person has asthma, because already they have somewhat reactive airways, and certain chemicals or odors can induce more of a problem. So I think that type of person might be a little bit more at risk for a poisoning.
Can you tell us about any unusual cases related to winter toxic substances handled by the Missouri Poison Center?
I would think one of my more memorable cases was where I personally had a case with a windshield washer solution in which a grandmother went out to the car and the mom said, could you grab the their drink off the front seat. It's in a gallon milk jug container. And unfortunately, the windshield washer solution was blue, just like this flavored drink was. And Grandma poured into a sippy cup for her grandchild the blue fluid that tasted good. And unfortunately, after the child had drank about a half a cup, realized what had happened when the mom saw the container.
Did they need to go to the hospital?
Yes, this was one of those cases where we did immediately send them in. And fortunately, with these products, there is an antidote that blocks that chemical from breaking down into that metabolite that's going to hurt them. So the child did wonderful because they act quickly and called the poison center. We got them to treatment and got the child the antidote that saved their life.
Is there anything that you would like to add?
I think the biggest thing is always to remember to call. With a lot of these products, things happen. It happens when products are in use. And poison centers are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you call that 800-222-1222 number, you can immediately get help from a nurse or a pharmacist who's specially trained to talk about these toxins. And more than likely, things will be managed without a big problem and hopefully at home, keeping them out of the hospital.
Thank you so much, Julie. We'll get even more protected during this winter with these tips you gave us today.
Great. Thank you.
That was Julie Weber. She's the director of the Missouri Poison Center. Julie is also a registered pharmacist and certified as a specialist in poison information. That's all for today. I'm the Poison Terminator. I'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you for listening and have a great day.